May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I have a poster in my office that I've had for many years now. It's a reprint of a poster that came out of the Diocese of Southern Ohio in the 1930s. The poster depicts three travelers with a donkey walking through the desert in the middle of the night. It's reminiscent of the famous journey Joseph and Mary take at the start of the Christmas story, but something's changed. Jesus is now here. The light of the world has been born, which is indeed worth celebrating, but this light, this love, while it is the good news, perhaps it is not good news for all. No, indeed, what has changed in the poster on my wall is that the Holy Family, in fear for their lives, is on their way to Egypt. It's a scene that's sparked by an angel visiting Joseph in a dream and warning him to flee. As Matthew tells us, the angel says, "Get up! Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." It would seem that the good news is not good news for those that wish to control the world through violence and destruction. We see through the whole Christmas season the powerful revelations of people who encounter the baby Jesus, the shepherds, the magi. They hear of the Christ child and fall into a deep state of wonder and awe. But King Herod takes a different approach. Upon hearing about the birth of this small child, Herod is not in a state of awe or wonder, but rather one of fear. Fear that his system of power is now threatened. The Christ child threatens his world. And so in Matthew's telling, Herod orders the death of the child. And although it doesn't appear in today's reading, many children die in Herod's search for Jesus. This sets the scene we have on that poster in my office. A child who unfortunately will never be a stranger to violence in his life. A child who will one day participate in the most profound act of nonviolence ever. That child now flees with his parents to safety. Parents who themselves will not escape the reality of violence that follows the child they now carry. Parents who will stand with that child through the worst. And so that's the scene on this poster in my office, the flight of the Holy Family to Egypt. And at the top of the poster are the words, "In the name of these refugees, aid all refugees." In the name of Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus, aid all refugees. A reminder that the Savior of the world was once in the deepest of danger. A reminder that the powers of the world that invest themselves in violence, destruction, and fear are so deeply afraid of a message of love and grace that they will stop at nothing to stamp out any instance of it taking hold. I had planned on giving a sermon on the plight of refugees throughout the world today, and I hope you are aware of the dire realities that many in our world face. I wanted to spend some time talking about the important work our denomination does to aid refugees, work like that of Episcopal Migration Ministries. I wanted to relate their plight to the plight of the Holy Family, making it known that walking in the footsteps of Jesus often means walking in places of great danger. We would do well to remember that part of our tasks as followers of Jesus Christ is to aid all those who, for very similar reasons, in very similar circumstances, flee for their lives. In light of events this week, though, I feel we have to take a look at the realities of violence that seem to break out in our communities in random and frightening ways. And so I find Herod to be a far more resonant character today. Herod embodies something we see too much of in this world. Herod's unquenchable thirst for power is indicative of being far removed from a relationship with God. We cannot desire the death of children and claim to be practicing a religion based on ultimate love. We cannot desire the death of those we disagree with. We cannot enact violence upon those who are different from us and then move on with our lives as if nothing has changed. Those who work in the world in this way know that fear is a powerful force for acquiring and maintaining power. That's what's so powerful, though, about the person of Jesus. That's what's so incredible about his ministry. That's what's so radical about his teachings and his actions. Again, in a life marked by violence and danger from the earliest of ages, Jesus still chooses a path that rejects the power of violence and instead instills in his followers the power of relationship. The words of Jesus are right there in the Bible for us to read. The Sermon on the Mount: if any strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. When a disciple attacks the force that comes to arrest Jesus in the garden after the Last Supper, Jesus responds, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." When Jesus stands before Pilate in John's Gospel, Pilate asks him why his followers are not fighting for his release. Jesus replies, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." All of these sayings point to the notion that the good news is bigger than all of us. Jesus' actions only make sense when looking through his eyes, eyes that truly understand how weak a response violence actually is to the problems that ail humanity. We live in a broken world, a world where defense and protection are necessities, but neither of these necessities are ultimately solutions or resolutions to the woes that we face. Violence is the power of the world. The power of God is love. The power of the divine is in the relationships we build with others through the power of love. I want to word this carefully because I have walked beside many who have had to bear the title of refugee, which is a mantle that I would not wish on anyone. But in some sense, we are all refugees when we let violence take over our land and infect our hearts. We are all refugees when we let violence make our decisions for us. Perhaps not refugees in the geopolitical sense, and for that I hope that we count our blessings, but we certainly become spiritual refugees, distant from the world that God imagines for us, wandering far in search of safety in wholeness. Jesus and his word and actions show that the response to violence in our world is not more violence, but rather working to build relationships through love. I feel like I always have to put a disclaimer in my sermon when I preach on love, because we've lost the radical nature of this word. The love of God is not a wishy-washy Hallmark card kind of notion. Love is the most powerful force in the world. It's a force that allows Jesus to reject the temptations of violence time and time again, and instead show in his actions how to embody peace. Can you imagine that kind of power? Can you feel it? To encounter those who might want to kill you and still embody a position of peace. Jesus takes that principle to the cross, and the world is forever changed for it. Something new starts that day, something that continues on, something that involves all God's people, something that beckons for change, something that thirsts for transformation. As Matthew tells us today, Herod the Great's death is what allows the Holy Family to return to their homeland. I do wonder, though, what might have happened if Herod had actually encountered Jesus? What might have changed in Herod if he had allowed some light to come into his cold world? We'll never know. We do know that his sons take charge over his kingdom, and it is Herod Antipas that partly seals Jesus' fate some 30 years later. Further proof that it's rarely just one individual responsible for the woes that we experience, but rather it's systemic failures passed from generation to generation. If the good news is bigger than all of us, so too are the problems that we face. The roots of any instance of violence are often complicated, fraught, misunderstood, and sometimes completely unexplored. It's never as clear-cut as we'd like it to be. I don't stand here with an uncritical view of the church's role in violence in the world either. Christianity is certainly not clean and clear of violent acts and abuses of power. Yet our belief in the power of forgiveness, of repentance, a power tied directly to Jesus on the cross, is power that allows us to examine our lives and to change. It's okay to admit when something is not working. It's okay to confront systems and values that perpetuate unjustness in the world, even if those things are deeply entrenched in our cultures. Not only is it okay, it's part of our lives as disciples. That's part of living a life of radical love, living a life of good news. We are all products of the systems and cultures that we have been a part of. Herod the Great and his sons are no different. They are products of their system. And so they are examples of what can happen when we fail to allow the powerful love of God to transform us, transform our systems, transform our relationship with others. That's a choice we will encounter every day. The true privilege to examine our lives and advocate for change. It's change on every level. It's making the good news good for those in our personal lives, in the relationships we hold with the people around us. It's making the good news good in the systems we are a part of, bringing that peaceful yet radical love into our places of work, our spheres of influence, our civic and governmental duties, our religious lives. If we truly want to imagine a world without violence, which I understand may feel completely unattainable right now, it's going to take a lot of soul searching. It's going to take a lot of difficult conversations. It's going to take a lot of relationship building, a lot of letting go of things that we think we hold dear, but it can be done. Because Jesus has said it can be done. Jesus shows it can be done. The same Jesus who faced violence and threats of violence from the time that he was an infant all the way to the cross, that's the same Jesus who shows just how powerful acts of love can be. That's the same Jesus that calls us to confront the brokenness of the world, to examine, to repent, to change the things we find unjust. We do this in Jesus' name, not only to aid ourselves, but to aid all those who have no voice, no agency, no options to aid all those who seek the beauty promised to us, to aid all those who desperately want to see how good the good news can be.